Well, I have to ask the question. My own, Dan? I'm good? You can hear me? Okay. All right. I have to ask the question. I asked it in first service. Who, by the raise of hands, who is a morning person? Morning people, raise your hands. Oh, wow. I think there's more than first service. Who's not a morning person? Raise your hands. This morning, I was awake at 5 a.m. I don't know if God woke me up. I'd assume so. But I was just awake at 5 a.m. and ready to go. So I got to drive to the church earlier. And doing so, coming from the east, I got to see the sun rise in my rearview mirror. And I don't know, it was just something spectacular. Something obviously God made. It was just like the sun was setting in the east and not setting in the west. It was just there was red, there was orange, there was purple, and somewhat almost looked like blue. But it was just a blessing to me this morning as I drove to the church to watch the sunrise in my rearview mirror. I don't know if you ever experienced that, but it was something, and I enjoyed it, and I thought I would share that with you. It's a perk, I guess, of being an early riser. I don't know. So they jumped into the car in a hurry to make it to the movie that starts in 10 minutes, and they were 15 to 20 minutes away, depending on which route they would take. He threw his seatbelt on and turned the car on, and she, in a hurry, simply forgot or decided not to put her seatbelt on that particular time she got in the car. In a hurry, they were on their way. They were driving along on the highway on a warm summer day. Destination, movie theater. He looked across the car, and they smiled at each other for a split second. A few seconds later, there's a loud crashing sound, and the vehicle began to roll, rolling 360 degrees on the black asphalt, following the yellow lines going through the other side of the intersection. The car stopped rolling and lands on its side against the telephone pole on the other side of the road, his body dangling there in the seat, held there by his seatbelt, and her body in the back of the car. Because she, in the hurry, forgot or decided not to put her seatbelt on in the rush of things. What the two friends didn't realize when they had set out on their speedy journey that day is that someone would violate the right of way of the intersection. As the friends were driving through the intersection, someone rolled through the stop sign and pulled out in front of them. In a split decision not to follow the intersection rules, especially right of way, a car accident happened. How many times has that happened to us? How many times in this past month has that happened to me in my journey from Milton to Mifflinburg? There's a reason why the Department of Transportation sets rules for the roadway. Could you imagine driving on roads where there are no rules? I think of the Autobahn in Germany where you can drive as fast as you want. Could you imagine here in central Pennsylvania no rules for the roadways? I know what I'm thinking, and maybe you're thinking, that would be absolutely disastrous, right? There's a reason we have rules for the road. They are established and put into practice by us drivers to keep us safe, to ensure there are minimal accidents as possible. But we see on almost a regular basis, rules of the roadway are not followed. Right-of-way at intersections, not followed. Oh, I'm going to coast right through the intersection. There's no stop sign there. There are then unwanted and unwarranted consequences. We see this same train of thought in our passage today. God, in His grace and His love, gives us rules for new life. So our passage today is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 5, chapter 5, verse 2, if you wanted to follow along. I will be reading from the New Living Translation. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the body, the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Thanks be to God. We find here in Ephesians that Paul is giving us a glimpse into his world in ancient Ephesus. You hear Jews and Gentiles are mixing together to form a small group of people who are called Christians. In the verses prior to our passage today, Paul is preaching to his audience that they need to abandon their old ways, their old way of living, and receive the gift of Christ, to put Christ and to live life as such, to put on Christ. Paul's writing to a community that is struggling. They're just struggling. We have to remember that this community is used to certain things. They are, in a sense, used to living without a type of rules that we've mentioned just a few minutes ago. Where if they had rules, they were nothing like Christianity's rules. This community lived in a pagan way. They worshiped secular gods. They participated in worldly things. They were immoral. They stole. They were angry and bitter towards one another. And Paul lists all these vices. And I'm sure he didn't include them all. Paul is calling this community that operates without any sort of moral code or moral law. He's calling this community that is hateful, that is rageful, that's thieving, lustful, greedy, that worships other gods, that participates in idol worship, and lustful acts towards these other gods. He invites them to a different way. Paul is calling them to turn aside from their past way. He encourages them to separate themselves from the immortality, the immorality of what they once knew. You see, Paul knows that this community, as these people become a part of the Christian community, as they bear Christ's name, he knows there are rules, and that these new people coming in, they need to learn these rules. More than rules, though, Christ establishes a particular way that we are to live, especially here in the 21st century. Turn from our old selves, turn from our old ways, and enter into this community, into the community of God, and to life with the triune God. Did you know, I was looking, there is an entire website dedicated to the right of way? Yes, there really is. The web link is www.rightofway.com. This website is attempting to list everything that has to do with right of way. There are several different classifications or categories that this website ascribes to. We got property rights, railroads, transportation, pipelines, utilities, surveying, mapping, gas, relocation, and so much more. What does this tell us? It tells us about a community who cares enough about safety, enough about a way to live together, that they establish things for just those reasons. Do people find loopholes? Sure. But majority of the people have said, this will keep us safe. This is an appropriate way in a community in harmony with one another. This is what Paul wants to convey to this new age, but beautiful community in Ephesus. That Christ has set an example. We have established a way to live that brings honor and glory to God. We find that what he has laid out here in Ephesians applies just as much to us today as it did to those who he was preaching to in that community. There are three verses that popped out or jumped out of the scripture as I was preparing and studying for today. I wanted to highlight them for you. In verse 26 says, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. It's from the New Revised Standard Version. Here's what I know. Anger isn't a powerful emotion. I see it on a regular basis. Often when I'm up here preaching, I reference my second job. Besides being a youth pastor, I'm in the mental health field. And on a regular basis, I see anger. I see the effects of anger. Anger left unchecked and not dealt with can lead to aggression and so many other things. It becomes violent. It becomes hurtful. It becomes shameful. Anger, if someone will let it, has the power to destroy relationships, destroy friendships, destroy marriages, destroy families. Anger, if left to go to this level, leaves a path of destruction, like we saw on the news, or as I witnessed firsthand in the relief efforts of the EF5 tornado that tore through Joplin, Missouri. God is telling us that anger isn't what he wants his community to be about. You can have righteous anger. God had righteous anger. But as we see, the scripture says, but do not sin. God's community, life in the Holy Spirit of God, is lived in love. The second verse, verse 29, let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building as there is need. Building up as there is need. This is the second verse that jumped out. Evil talk and the community of Christ. That is, evil talk in the community happens within the community on a regular basis. I'm sad to say. It probably happens more than what we want to believe. Some of us maybe even participate in it. This is another issue that cuts straight to the heart of us living, breathing, functioning human beings, let alone ones that are Christians. Ones that live in a Christian community. So often I see out in the world, and you probably see as well, people being made fun of, people being put down, people doing all they can to tear others down in order to make themselves feel better or have higher self-esteem because they themselves are struggling. There's a reason that so many times in the Bible it mentions that we need to watch our tongue, or we need to be careful with our words. Words are incredibly powerful. I'm sure you're aware of that. Incredibly powerful. So often they are used to tear down. They're used to destroy for evil purposes. They're used to take people to their lowest depths. God says, no, that is not happening in my church. That should not happen among the people who call themselves Christians. In fact, Christians should be in the trenches, standing up, standing firm for those who can't stand for themselves. Christians should be encouraging and edifying to those who are in the margins. Christians should bear the name of Christ well and be Christ in the world representing his love. Not tearing down. Not using evil words. God is telling us to be a community, a people who bear his name. And through his Holy Spirit, we can build up others, being an extension of his love. The last one, verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked, with a seal for the day of redemption. This verse, it makes me think of in the Gospel of Luke, when Jesus wept for Lazarus. Did you know that God grieves for us? Do you ever think of your God as an emotional God? God, we're emotional beings, right? God created us in his own image. So why couldn't God have emotions? Unless we think of emotions as a consequence of the fall. But I have to tell you, I don't think that's the case. We see over and over and over again in Scripture where God is wrathful, God is angry, God is loving. We see that Jesus wept for Lazarus, his friend. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we don't give God the right of way in our lives. We grieve God when we are not living in a way that is worthy of being called Christian. We make choices throughout our day. We choose to either live for God and his ways, his purposes in the world, or we choose to live for ourselves, living in sin, choosing selfishness. When we choose the latter, we grieve God. Just come back to that. Jesus wept. We grieve the Holy Spirit. Our passage today gives us a contrast between the wrong way and the right way of living. Giving God the right of way to our lives ensures that we live a life of love, bearing Christ well, living into God's mission in the world. The basis for our Ephesians passage kind of comes from Colossians 3, 8 through 9. I'll read it for you. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourself with your new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. Can we see that internally as we participate As we become angry with one another, wrathful, malicious, slanderous, and abusive with our words towards each other, the world looks at us from out there and they say, we can get that out here. Why would we want to come join you? We hurt ourselves and we hurt our witness. To be perfectly honest, we can't do this. We can't do what this passage is asking of us unless we give right of way to God. We don't find ourselves involved in a car crash, or we will find ourselves in a crash of sin. Not sure of the effects it's having on the people around us if we don't give God right away. God calls us to give Him constant right away to our whole being, to our all. Can we receive this call this morning? To be a community that builds each other up in love, and not be a community that's tearing each other down, using sharp words. Can we be a community of faith that helps each other, that equips each other to be the hands and feet of Christ in our community, in our spheres of influence, to love one another as Christ has loved us, so that the world may see our love, say, they're different. I want to be a part of that. I hope so. Let's pray. Lord God, hear our prayer this morning. We come to you as people who humbly admit that we need you, Lord God, Creator, Redeemer, Sanctifier. Lord, we are many people who come from many different backgrounds, and you know our hearts. Help us to give you right away to our lives. Lord, God, empower us with your Holy Spirit to be your hands and your feet, your love to our community, to the people we encounter, to the injustices of anger and evil, words and actions towards others. Lord God, help us to love you. Help us to love you with our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole strength. Help us to love each other. Help us to love our neighbor. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for being here. You are dismissed, and I pray that you have a blessed rest of your Sunday. Amen.